first part of the podcast.
Hello there. Welcome to the Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Photo Show podcast, brought to you by UG.
Urban Garden.
UG.
Urban.
Jesus. Well, it looks like UG.
It is. It's the initials for Urban Garden.
But it's an umlaut U.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's an UG, not an UG. It's an UG.
Anyway, Urban Garden's where we got coffee just now. And they have a Heaps Retro Metro logo on the cups.
And they have Retro Metro.
Yeah.
And they have not sponsored us, so they're not actually sponsored. But anyway, welcome everyone. Hope everyone's having a fantastic day or evening or whenever you're listening to this.
Mine.
Insert time here. Before we start, let's go through just a couple of formalities. If you like what we do, why not hit subscribe, and also why not do this thing that we've been saying now for a while.
Yeah.
And we have about 8 people that did it out of close to 9,000 people a month that listen to this podcast. Whatever you're looking at right now, take a photo of it. You don't have to be in it. You can be in it, but you don't have to be in it. And anything you're looking at, if it's safe, you know, if you are, if you're working on a construction site and you're currently you're operating a crane and you're currently holding, some concrete that weighs tons. Under your hands, and if you let go of the thing, it falls. Don't. So if it's safe, take a photo of what you're looking at, post it on a Facebook page. Can you post? No, you can't post things to us on Instagram, can you?
Post them in the mail. You might have to print out the photo first. It might be too time-consuming. The internet's much faster.
Yes, but post it to one of our social media things, and just so we know where you are, what you do. Yeah. Even just drop us a line, say hello. It's always interesting to know who the people are that listen to this, and where you are in the world, and what you do, and yada yada yada.
Speaking of social media stuff, we've got a Instagram account now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I mentioned that last time.
Well, that's what I just said.
Yeah, yeah.
So can other people post things to our Instagram? No.
No.
You can message us on Instagram.
You can tag us in your photo.
Or tag us in your photo. Or you can do a little paper aeroplane thingy.
Mm. So it's... Instagram's...
Nicely ignored, thank you.
Yeah. Well, you can. Yeah, Instagram's pretty cool because we've both got personal accounts on Instagram. But starting one from scratch is kind of interesting when you have some, like... knowledge of how it all works.
Don't really, but
well, it's not much to it,
I guess.
Photos, hashtags, clever color filter thing, that's about it.
There you go. That's, you've learned something new, kids. That's $49.95 for this first and also, actually, before we start, if there's anything, if you would like some, any sort of merchandise or something like that, would you like some t-shirts? Would you like pics? Mm. Would you like, I don't know.
Underwear.
Underwear. With the, our song, pictures of us on.
Our faces on the
our faces on it. let us know. And because it's something we've been talking about, maybe doing some merch, and if you would be interested in it, let us know what it is you would be interested in. So what would you like to see? And anyway, so that's the formalities. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here. Alex.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm okay, thanks.
What's new with you?
What's new with me? I've been building cables. It kind of sounds boring. Whistling your coffee. I think it's kind of therapeutic. I've got some loom cable I got given, and I bought a couple of some meters of just 2-core multi-core cable. I made some little looms for my studio, like my little stereo synth board, effects board.
Ah, loomy.
Make up some looms. I made a loom, stereo loom. Send and receive loom for the effects loop on my amp. Just kind of getting into the soldering again. Because it turned out I'm actually okay at soldering, just my old soldering iron was rubbish.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
Yeah. because it finally died and I got a new one. I'm like, ah, I'm not so bad at this after all.
I've made some looms before.
Oh, yeah? Cool.
I bought two cables that were the same length,
mm-hmm.
and then they gaffer tested again.
Rock and roll. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Anything else exciting happening?
Anything at all.
Anything at all? You've got this lighting thing.
That's kind of cool. Got a lighting console for my gigs. So I'm upgrading a whole bunch of live stuff.
PA. If people don't know, Alex has got a sound production company.
Yeah. It's most of what my gigs are is live sound. Getting into some more lighting stuff. I'll show you this later after the podcast. So I'm pretty cool. It's this company called LSC. Have like a...
Ooh, that's... one of illegal things.
Yeah. It's definitely a lot illegal. Has like a touchpad with like the colour spectrum. So you put in specs of the LED fixtures and you can just put your finger on it and move whatever colour you want.
Yeah. La-dee-da.
It's pretty fancy. Pretty fancy.
Fancy schmancy.
On that. Oh, I bought a... excuse me.
Easy tugger.
That's my belly. I bought a double muff.
Oh, yeah, you bought one too, that's right.
Hasn't arrived yet, but apparently the guy works night shifts.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
Mm. So,
yeah, because I got one not long ago. I got it quite cheap from Japan.
Mm.
And we did a video of it, which is yet to come out at some stage. But it's quite good, actually.
Yeah, it's cool. It's kind of like this big fat fuzzy overdrive thing, but it doesn't have to be super fuzzy.
No,
just be like a broken speaker kind of overdrive.
No. Cranked amp, I guess that's what it's meant to be like.
Yeah.
Or one cranked amp going into another cranked amp.
It's double. Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Well, the we did videos today to film some stuff.
You didn't ask me what's new with me.
Well, I was just going to segue to that nicely.
Ah, segue, nice.
Because one of the videos is of the, what was it called, Free the Tone Tri-Avatar Multi-Dimensional Chorus. I'm sure you guys have seen all these. I'm pretty sure they're from Japan.
Yes.
Oh, it says Made in Japan in the back.
Yes.
So, yeah, they're really cool. It's quite a bit smaller than I thought, the box.
Yeah, same here. I thought it would be bigger. Just from seeing the pictures, but it is quite small. It's a good sounding. I'm not a huge chorus guy, but it's...
Do you not love it? Is it just the effect in general?
Just chorus in general. It's just, yeah. I don't know, not my bag. But yeah. I can see it's nice for what it does.
Yeah, I get you. I think this is probably a better example of chorus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, chorus can go... There's, like, no grey area with chorus. It's either cool or not cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that it's quite versatile. You could got some presets on it. We did the whole stereo thing as well, which you can... It does sound quite nice in stereo.
Yeah.
But
this is one of the scores we got recently.
Yeah.
Cause,
locally.
Yeah. Second hand, it's... got a little bit of paint off one corner, but it's pretty good condition. The, yeah... Got this and the Empress tape delay, the black one.
Well, yeah, we haven't done a video of that yet.
We need to do that, yeah. And I've been using that on my acoustic board.
And I've got also got the...
Root 66.
Root 66. What is it? Then that True Tone, what were they then? Visual Sound.
Yeah, that's it. It's the overdrive compressor, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and it compresses. Holy moly, does it compress. Oh, yeah. Serious compression.
I haven't tried that yet. You didn't have it yet.
Oh, no, I didn't bring it, no. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, so that's... It's coming up, that video.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All the demos I've heard are pretty cool. Like, they're not cheap pedals.
No, the Free to Tone stuff. No, I mean, the Flight Time? Is that what it's called? Yeah, Flight Time? The delay one? That's meant to be really good.
The reverb sounded pretty cool, too.
Oh, yeah, true.
Which I think's brown.
Well, when I think of reverb, I think of brown.
Hmm. Excellent.
So that's one of the ones we did. I also recently got a Death by Audio Exit Index, which is quite a quirky thing.
It's cool,
a drive, overdrive, distortion-y kind of thing, but it's got an LFO in it, which has tremolo attached to it. But it's sort of the opposite of the way you would think. Like, it's not as in you got distortion and you hit really hard and then there's tremolo, but it's you hit hard and then there's distortion, but then you play softly, then there's a tremolo.
Yeah, and you can set it so the tremolo will come in on the tails of your chord,
off the chord
as it dies down dynamically.
So
pretty neat.
Quite an interesting Death by Audio stuff. I haven't played all that much of it, but what I've played of it so far, I really like. I quite like their stuff.
There's kind of a couple companies like that. I think we're both the same, that we're missing gaps in our pedal experiences. Like, we haven't tried a whole lot of Keeley stuff.
No, but the stuff I've played, I've liked.
But, yeah, it's just one of those times, just those things, haven't got around to it, and not enough money in the world, not enough time in the world.
And not enough shops locally that have that stuff. It's always the problem.
So there's, I think Death by Audio is one of those things where it's like, love it, but just haven't had a chance
and
to.
And it's not cheap, that's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, most of their pedals in Australia were sort of over $300, so what, like around
Australian dollars.
Yeah, 200 plus US dollar mark.
Yeah.
Most pedals, I guess. So not cheap, but they are pretty cool. So that's another one. I've actually been a bit silly lately, but there's been a lot of stuff going really cheap.
Yeah.
I've got an Electro-Harmonic Synth 9 as well, which I quite like. But I do like things that make a guitar sound like it's not a guitar. And should we even open that wormhole with the old Joe Bonamassa thing?
Everyone else is talking about it.
I mean, personally, if you want my opinion, okay.
Do I?
do we want to talk about it later?
Let's talk about it briefly.
Briefly, okay.
Do you think...
Who the hell is Joe Bonamassa anyway? No, but, I mean, who cares what you play, what you do? And, I mean, really, does the world need another nerdy white guy playing the blues? You know,
yeah.
Owning every 1959 Gibson Les Paul ever made.
Share them around.
Yeah, that's the, you know, and having basically a museum at your house from all the gear you collected.
Look, if I had the ability to, I would probably have the gear he has too. You know,
yeah, but I would plug some cool pedals into it.
Yeah, I think, personally, I think kind of has a point. Like,
no, he doesn't.
Learn to play freaking guitar.
No, he doesn't.
But
all he does is play the blues. Learn something interesting. Stop boring me, Joe Bonamassa.
No, but it's kind of like that thing of an effect's only going to exaggerate what you can play.
I think how creative you are with it. Effect is creativity.
Yeah.
It's like saying only pencil drawings is real art. If you use watercolor,
no.
If you use pastels, if you make sculptures, that's not real art. You got to use pencils because that's what it is, an amp directly. Even though he uses quite a lot of effects himself. But the way I see it, nerdy white guy playing the blues.
I think he's more referring to like those...
Whose record sales dropped. He has a new album coming out. How can we make some more money, get some more publicity by saying stupid stuff? So I honestly, there are very few things I care less about than Joe Bonamassa.
Yeah. Right,
yeah. Or blues. That's just me. Sorry, people. Speaking of that, Synth 9. I love making my guitar sound like a Moog synthesizer. A Moog synthesizer.
And it is Moog.
It is Moog, yes.
Because it's a Dutch family.
Yes, and you are Dutch.
Well, yeah, and I heard them say it. That's what the house pronounced.
Yes.
Not that's because...
Yeah, I'm the Dutchman.
Moog,
yeah. Yeah, Moog, yeah.
Lekker Synth 9. Anyway, let's not get him a Dutch.
No, let's not get into that. Okay, so that's that. Do you want to? What do you want to say about Joe Bonamassa in the end? That's my Joe Bonamassa. I don't care. I don't really know who he is. I don't listen to his music. You'd have to force me to listen to his music for me to listen to his music because I just. There are enough nerdy white guys playing the blues. Even though it's kind of funny watching him because he looks like the dude out of The Matrix. Because he always has sunnies on because he looks too geeky without sunnies. sort of Sonny is other try hard cool things, and then he looks like, was it Agent Smith? Is that the guy? Is that Hugo Weaving? The character that he played in Matrix. Yeah, he looks like that.
Yeah, true.
That's just with a Les Paul instead of a gun. Well, did he even have a gun? Yeah, he had a gun. Of course he had a gun in the movie.
It's Peter Wilson to watch, though.
Yeah.
They were really good, hey?
Yeah, a little bit, I don't know. The first one was good, but the others, just, it was just too confusing and too hyped and overrated, in my opinion. But that's... Let's get into it. I'm making a lot of enemies today.
Yeah. It's time for a holiday.
So, okay, do you want to, what is there anything you want to finish off with Jobin Mussa?
Well, I like him.
I think he sucks.
There you go.
He's boring. Stop boring me. Okay. So Synth 9, Exit Index, what was the third one we did?
And Freeze the Tone, Tri Avatar.
The Tri Avatar, which is over there. Fucking good. What else? I got a couple of other things. I got just because it went ridiculously cheap, an old Japanese made Boss DS2 Turbo Distortion.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got an old Japanese DS1, I've got a Japanese DS2, and I've got the Japanese Feedbacker Distorter, which I think are all the same circuit. You just have
tweaks on the end of it.
You have that extra turbine thing on the DS2. Probably now, if Tim from Mojo Stomp Boxes listens, he probably does a face slap thing and goes, oh, those idiots, they don't know anything. But as far as I know, it's the same sort of circuit, just the DS2 has that turbo switch, which to me is more like a mid push. Like it actually is good because it has what the DS1 lacks, which DS1 is quite thin, I find.
Yeah.
And the feedbacker, which I think is really cool, which we should do a video, I think, of the Freak Out Ebo feedbacker, and maybe even a Freeze pedal.
Speaking of different topics. Good segue.
Good segue.
I watched the that pedal show. It's only just been put up last couple of days. Episode with Analog Man.
Yes.
And on his own board, his demo board, he has the DS1 modded with the mid push. Sounds killer. Really good.
Well, I think that's what sort of, it's gain and mid boost. That's what the DS2 thing does.
Man, cool. And I like fuzzers, but I never really found a use for them. Like, I love playing them, but
they never work in band context, do they?
Yeah.
No. But unless you boost it with something or
honky,
run it into something.
True. But, man, Analog Man, some of his fuzz tones are cool as hell.
Expensive, too, but good.
But, he's an interesting guy, because in interviews, like, I don't really care about marketing stuff. I just want to make the best pedals because...
Well, he doesn't need to. He has 3-4 year waiting lists on some of his stuff, so...
And which is great because we were talking earlier just off microphone about how things are about kind of changing in the scene where all this modelling stuff's taking over, not only with amps but also some, like, effects stuff where you have, like, the new Boss pedals, like all the it's kind of like their version of the Strymon thing.
Yeah.
Modulation and a reverb and a delay. So the
and kind line of, 6 with a DL4 and they just came out with.
Yeah. just
like 10, 15 years ago. Anyway, sorry.
But all that modeling stuff's getting better and more popular. So the kind of some of the boutique-y stuff's getting pushed aside slightly. So it's kind of like almost an interesting pivot point where I think people like Robert Keeley and Analog Man, I forgot his name.
Mike Piera?
Yeah, Mike. I think. Where they're so good at what they do and been around for so long, I think they won't have any problems. They might.
No.
5% drop in sales or something. But
it's the smaller builders.
Yeah.
And we have seen a few disappear recently.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Which is a bummer, but it's kind of business, whether it's guitar or not.
Yeah.
like, unfortunately, it's one of those things where you have to balance. Yes, it's really tricky because it's artistic and business, balancing the two. You know what I mean?
But I mean, it's like with everything. It's you go through these booms.
Yeah, true.
And then people want stuff all the time, and then everyone starts making stuff.
Mm.
And I mean, nowadays, especially with the internet and stuff, everyone can make things and sell them globally.
Yep.
But then all of a sudden, people are onto the next thing, and then, you know, all of a sudden these small businesses that started up that may have worked well and gotten to a point where they may have stopped working.
Sure.
You know, they quit their day jobs.
Hire one or two people maybe.
And hire one or two people, and all of a sudden sales drop off, and then what do?
You have to not hire any more people.
That's another, yeah. Or, well, you've got to close, or, you know, see how it all goes. But
yeah.
There's been a couple of them. There's actually... we should actually do a video of it, because we haven't done one yet, but I think they were called Left Foot Pedals.
That rings a bell. Well,
I've got a delay of theirs. I think it's called a Copycat or something like that. Really nice delay.
Yeah.
And it has tremolo in it, so you can have tremolo in the repeats.
Oh, really? Cool.
But I bought that pedal off them, this is years ago, and... then they disappeared and they're gone now.
Yeah.
And but the pedal's really nice.
Yeah, right.
I think they're called left foot pedals.
That does ring a bell.
And they had a couple of pedals. I think Brett Kingman did a couple of demos of their stuff too, and I've seen a few videos. But I mean, there's a few of these builders, and like, no one has answered us yet. But Tone Monk, is he still around, or has he stopped? Or
yeah,
sorry, I just took money on that.
That's right. Because, yeah, that clone that you have of Tone Monk.
The Phoenix.
Just,
it's great.
Monster, though.
Yeah.
It's about as best as good as they come.
About as best as my English.
Best as my wordsing.
My words are the best.
Wordsmithing. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, unfortunately, that, yeah, you really have to. And it's the same with actually musical content. Like, if you're a great singer-songwriter, some of those people are... are so heavy into the songwriting aspect, often don't balance it out with the business side and learn how to promote themselves properly and get their music out there. Which is often why you hear that phrase like, oh, they're so good, but you know, no one knows about them. That kind of thing. Like, this amazing guitarist playing in a cafe. It's because he's amazing and has like the left right brain thing out of whack. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that also comes across with engineering, and it's also really creative when you're building pedals and amps and all that kind of thing.
Of course, of course.
If you build the best amplifier in the world and no one knows about it, then it's going to be amazing in your garage.
Yeah.
Or car hole.
The old car hole. Yeah. Oh, you've got a garage, huh? That's all fancy. Yeah. I call it a car hole. That was in The Simpsons, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's one of the...
I think it was Mo, wasn't it?
Cow.
Speaking of amazing amps.
Speaking of car holes.
Speaking of most, it's like, I'm going to catch up with our friend Aaron Griffin this afternoon.
Ah, yes.
And I just brought it up because I did a gigs on, I was mixing a gig on the weekend where another guitarist came in along in a band, and he had one of Aaron's amps, the Sleepwalk amps. And the cab he had was 210s, and they were the warehouse speakers. And I asked Aaron about it, and he said they're the cream. He thinks that they're those ones with the cream back versions
of warehouse.
So that wants me to get some 10s in my life again.
Well, my favourite amp I've ever owned is my Fender Hot Rod DeVille 4x10.
Mm.
I really like the sound of the 10s, and I was involved in a tour a few years back.
Yeah.
That went for about 7 months, and the guitarist in the other band that played in that tour, he played one of the Bassman reissues 4x10s.
Cool.
And it sounded killer. And actually, the sound engineer, the front of our sound engineer, who... if you're listening, hello, Damien and Rachel in Melbourne. Actually, if you have kids, people listening, and you want some good music for your kids, They have a thing called Little Feet.
Okay.
Anyway, just a shameless plug here. But they're good friends of mine from Melbourne, and they write kids' songs. But the idea is they're really well recorded, lots of really good musos, some A-list musos here in Australia. Like Mark Kennedy on drums, who's like one of the, you know, he's like a legendary drummer in Australia. And, you know, but all bunch of guys, like high up people. And I think actually the last album they recorded in Nashville with a whole bunch of Nashville recording artists. And the idea I think behind it is kids music, but that doesn't drive the parents insane, because it's not recorded crap. It's like proper band, well recorded.
Not Casio keyboard.
Not Casio keyboard, you know. Little Feet Music, check them out. My kids loved, they just brought the third album out. My kids loved the first two albums. So.
Oh, cool. Speaking of that, a friend of mine, Nadia Sunday, did a similar thing.
Okay.
And she got Michael Fix to produce it.
Okay.
So it's all this like smoking hot bluegrass player all over, and there's songs about farm animals and it's really cool stuff.
Well, they had some of the guys, you know, the guitarist, what's his name, Dan, I can't think of his last name, I met the dude, but he played with like, this is in Australia, so people overseas probably don't know, but, you know, guys like Jimmy Barnes and what's this dude, Noiseworks guy?
Oh, yeah, Mr. Noise.
Mr. Noise. John Stevens.
Yeah. He's a great singer.
A lot of the guys that are on these albums, because, Damien runs a studio down in Melbourne or outside of Melbourne that, you know, it's sort of a, you know, fairly well, relatively highly considered space. And so they have access to a lot of, you know, more A-grade sort of musicians. And anyway, that's sort of side note. But yeah, I was involved in that too. And so he's quite a picky dude, Damien, with sounds and stuff like that. And he was saying he really likes tens because there's certain frequencies. You wouldn't think so, but it's actually a lot of frequencies that are more piercing that come out of 12s. Speakers than out of 10-inch speakers.
Okay.
So 10-inch speakers seem to be more balanced sort of sound and not as piercing. And he sounded great too, Paul, the guitarist in the other band.
What was that Fender I had? The Super 210? Was that what it was?
The little...
The red knob one. Was it like late 80s?
Okay, yeah. Oh, did you have that anymore?
No, I saw that. That was, I think that wasn't working properly because it didn't have a lot of output, like it was quite soft in volume, but the tone was great.
Yeah, I like tens. I'm a fan.
Two tens.
Or four tens, like I had. Yeah,
totally. Actually, I tried one of those Achilles amps, Bassman reissues.
Melbourne made ones.
And it had a master volume mod.
Okay.
So you could get that really cool grungy like Rolling Stones tweed thing.
Without blowing your head off.
Without melting people's faces.
We did the, what was it called? The 1820? 1830? Fender amp. We did a demo of that for the music shop that we did some demos for a while.
Oh, the Bass Breaker?
The Bass Breaker 1820 or 1830? Whatever it is, one of those.
1830, like, maybe.
1830. And, it's like two channels, and one side is meant to be like a deluxe...
Yes, yeah,
reverb kind of thing, and the other one is more like a blues breaker kind of like and it's meant to be the 18 watts, the lower wattage, is meant to be for the more driven side, and the more higher wattage is meant to be more headroom. And it had recommended settings on it, and it didn't have a master volume. And we turned it to that. I mean, it was just a single volume, it didn't have a master volume. I think that the 18 watt side is just volume and tone.
I think so, yeah.
I didn't even have other EQ. And the setting for that, I don't know what it was called, like rock, it was like the rock setting. It was like, the volume was on about 10. And it was so ridiculously loud. It was
insanely loud.
If you watch the video, it's on YouTube. We did it for Mooloolaba Music, which is, again, if you don't live in Australia, it's MOOLOOABA, Mooloolaba.
Yeah. It's a local music shop.
Local music shop. If you check it out, you can see me almost... you know, I'm sort of holding onto my teeth so they don't pop out. Because it was ridiculously
loud. I got earmuffs at one point.
You put those big yellow industrial things on, yeah. And it was still loud and the whole house was shaking. Yeah. But we just did it quickly just for the demo. Oh, and it sounded great, but man, it was loud. There is no stage in the world where the sound guy wouldn't tell you to turn down at that. Even Wembley Stadium, they go, can you turn it down a bit? It's overpowering the PA.
Excuse me, can you stop being a dickhead? Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so that's it gets loud.
Speaking of loud volume stuff, I was at the SB in Melbourne one time, and this blues band playing, and they had a Marshall head and a cab. It just had the head on a crate or something. The cab on its back shooting at the ceiling, wound it up. Sounded incredible. It was great.
Well, I used to play in a bit with a guy. We used to play. He was in a different band, but we used to, you know, play the same things, same nights, same venues, and you know, we had like music things where there was a bunch of acts.
Yeah.
And he used to have a VHD head.
Oh yeah.
And I think they were 120 watts maybe from like valve. They were serious, and he always got told to turn down because it was so ridiculously loud. So he ended up having the speaker. So he was the guy singing in the band, right? Mm-hmm. Now imagine the guy singing there with a mic stand in front of him and on his guitar and his pedal board, and then in front of the mic stand he had the amp facing back at him. Jeez. But even then it was ridiculously loud
because out the front all you hear is like with the guitar, like it'd just be muffled. But
well, it was still mic'd.
Yeah,
but you hear all the bottom end on the back. Yeah, you hear all the muffled bottom end,
muffled back of the guitar amp.
It was ridiculously loud. But that's some people.
I remember playing. Were they the? Is it THD or VHD?
VHT.
VH. That's right. And they had like a. Was it a bulldog or something?
Yeah. But I think that was actually the one.
Oh,
the
cool. Okay. I remember playing this guy's. He had one of those. It was a 50 watt combo or something, and a PRS with three P90s in it. A purple one.
Wow.
When I was in high school.
Well, that guy had a PRS too, actually. Oh, really? He had a blue PRS, but not with P90s in it.
I don't think they did it for long. It was three P90s, like a Strat setup.
Okay.
Flyway. When I was maybe 16 or 17, and I was like, oh man, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah. Yep, they were pretty cool, the old VHT amps. They were. and now, was it then it went to. That sold, and then was it like Lafayette or something like that? That was the. Or Freyette.
Oh, yeah.
Freyette, that was the people that used to make VHT.
Oh, is it?
Because like you had Matchless and then Bad Cat and all that.
Because they started doing the cheap ones, like the 6 watt heads and the 18, just the little toy ones.
Because, it sold to some other company. But anyway, Freyette, I think, was the name. That was the original VHT guys.
Yeah, right.
But what were we talking about before that?
Tens.
Tens, oh yeah. I like my 4x10.
Cool.
I always like that.
Because you're using the Torpedo Live stuff.
Yeah.
Do you find you still like tens in the amp?
No.
So the cab modelling?
No.
Okay.
I seem to, in a band situation, that's what I really want to one day, once I'm still sort of working on setting my home studio up, but once I got that going, I really want to make, and we should do a video of it, I want to make an IR off my amp and my speaker cab.
Yep.
Because I find live using the IRs, the tens, I don't like them as much. In a recording situation, they sometimes work. But I seem to really like that Rev 4x12 open back. And also, I think it's a... Is it Ohnhammer? I think it's an Ohnhammer EV. Electric voice.
Like a dumbly top.
Yeah, but it's an old 70s Marshall checkerboard.
Oh, wow.
Cab.
Quad, yeah.
A quad with four EV speakers in it.
Wow, imagine having one of those. They'd be heavy as balls.
Yeah, and I think it's the one of them oversized ones.
Yeah, wow.
You know, that's like... What, I think the speakers may be offset.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? So the extra...
Was that a 70s thing?
I think that was a 70s thing. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly, I might be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's an Ohnhammer checker box, Marshall checker box. Checker box?
Checker... Checkerboard?
Checkerboard.
Is that the word?
Yeah, checkerboard. Yeah, I think it's checkerboard. Anyways, with the EV speakers, and I really like them. So I tend to like 4x12s with the IRs.
Okay.
Don't know why, but I seem to. That seems to. I've tried quite a few. Mm. I've tried different gigs and stuff. I've tried single 12s, 2x12s, open back, close back, 4x10s, 2x10, 115.
Oh, yeah? How was that?
Didn't like that at all.
Yeah. It's definitely its own thing.
It's its own thing, yeah. And again, these are just IR, so it's not actual speakers. But
for some reason, a lot of pedal steel players like 15s. Not sure why.
Don't know. But yeah, so I ended up, the two I seem to be using, well, the three, let's say my top three that I seem to be using the most are is the Celestion Greenback 4x12.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it's Ohnhammer EV 4x12, Marshall Checkerboard, whatever it is. And
crisscross,
and Scottish looking thing, and the Rev,
yeah,
right. Rev 4x12 open back. Okay. Do like the open back actually.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, so that's the three I use the most and like the most. Cool. I bought a whole bunch of different Celestion ones, but I mean that's something we should talk about when we should do a video where we. I think we should do an IR of your speaker.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Maybe it through your amp and the way we record here, just to see how that works. And I want to do one of my amp. Yeah. And
that'd be interesting.
Once we do, we'll do like a. It'll be a bit more involved, but we'll do that soon.
Mm.
Or maybe early next year.
I'll have to plan that video.
Yeah.
Look at how to do it. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can do IRs for anything like. Obviously, lots of reverbs are done with IRs, spaces and halls and rooms. And
well, so. Didn't they do the Abbey Road? Isn't there like a reverb room or something like that they have?
A chamber, probably.
Chamber, yeah. Well, yeah. Chamber, sorry.
And I know they've done Ocean Way's actual live rooms for Universal Audio.
Okay.
For their plugins. So you can put stuff in their live room and move the mics around and have different stereo pairs and
fancy
all sorts of things. Which is pretty sweet.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Cool, man. What else have we done that's guitar related that's new? So we're getting towards the end of the Clon and Clone series. We've just got to really sort out the big shootout we're going to do. But that should be coming hopefully by the end of the year or early next year, the latest, the shootout.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll be filming it before the end of the year, but by the time it's actually out, how are we going for time? 40 minutes.
Cool. You got to do children's stuff.
I've got to do children's stuff soon, but I got a little bit more time. But
yeah, cool.
Was there anything else you wanted to talk about or anything else you...
Mm. I'm not sure.
Well, maybe something. Just sort of quickly.
Yeah.
Quite often you talk to people, just sort of your opinion on it as well. And, you know, if people out there have opinions, let me know, especially on the Joe Bonamassa thing and stuff. But insert hate mail below. Quite often when you talk to people when I talk to people at gigs, for example, or... when I talk to, but generally people at gigs, quite often it tends to be this thing where you're a muso, you play somewhere, and then they go, you know, first thing they ask you is, oh, what do you do for a day job? Yeah. And when you sort of say to them, well, this is my day job, even though it's nighttime, but it is my day job,
yeah.
They sort of almost seem surprised, and they seem like, oh, really? You know, this is what you do for a living, really? All you do is you just sit around and play some tunes and, you know, that's a pretty easy-peasy job, isn't it? What is your opinion on that sort of statement, Alex?
I think people just aren't educated. Like,
no. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Like, obviously, that's why they're kind of surprised. And there are gigs around. Like, you can easily make a living off music, especially if you're...
If you live in a touristy area like we do.
And if you diversify a bit, like...
Yeah. It's not just all about you. You've got to consider venues and you've got to consider people.
Yeah.
It can't just be whatever you want to do.
Even there's people making livings off playing original music around here.
Obviously. That'll be a little bit harder, but yeah.
It is harder. There's, obviously lots of covers work, just like every large metro area.
Yeah.
There's, but yeah, it can be done. It's just like any other business. You have to build it up. You have network, you have clients, you have invoicing to do.
But I mean, the fact, the fact that people sort of look at you and go, oh, you just sit there for a couple of hours and play a few tunes, you know, you're not really doing anything. Mm.
I think it's probably a jealousy thing too.
Maybe it's a little bit of jealousy thing.
I'm stuck in my dead-end job, sit at a computer in an office or something, and this guy is like smelly and comes and talks to me and, you know, tells me to do stuff I don't want to do, and you're just playing guitar. I'm just putting the scenario together, right?
Oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, smelly. I'm there. Office manager.
Yes.
That kind of thing, you know, it might just...
But I mean, the thing that I always sort of say to people and there is a lot involved in being a musician. I mean, a lot of things that people don't necessarily know. I mean, yeah, you play for, maybe you only play for 3 hours, but quite often you're there an hour beforehand setting up and an hour afterwards packing up. And I mean, it's all your gear that you're lugging around. It's quite often, you know, quite a lot of gear that you're lugging around, quite heavy gear that you're lugging around. Quite often you can't park anywhere nearby, so you've got to walk, you know, move your stuff around, which means you've got to get even earlier to the gigs. And then sitting there for like 3-4 hours singing and playing guitar, I'm absolutely knackered afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like a cardio workout.
Yeah.
Basically.
It is, especially singing.
And I mean, that's what I always say to people, when you're at home, take a book, right, open any page up, stand in front of a mirror and read a whole page out loud, projecting your voice, and look at yourself in the mirror too, so you're trying to, you know...
Be conscious of what you do.
I guarantee you, after reading one page, you'll be out of breath and you'll be buggered.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that do that sort of stuff on a regular basis probably will semi-lose their voice.
Hmm.
And I'm not talking just about, you know, I mean, I read books to my kids.
Sure.
But you don't project your voice. You don't actually put... cajonas into your voice.
Some emotions.
You project. It's not like you're yelling, but you're talking loud and you're using an assertive voice.
Yeah.
Not like when you're reading kids' books.
Yeah.
When you know, and then little Johnny went to bed. You know, it's not like that.
You went to bed, right?
But I mean, it's not just that. Then the problem is also you have to deal with the idiots like the idiot who I'm just talking to in this.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot to it, and I mean, invoicing. You got to find those gigs.
I think there are some idiots like you talk about, but most of the time it's just people just don't know. Like they've just never been exposed to friends or family that in those in that job in the first place.
So true.
They're like, oh, okay, cool. And then you're like, oh, that's great. You're doing what you love, and. You know. That's what I found with most of those conversations. But like, once you tell them that you do and say how it works, they go, oh, cool. Just never been educated. And that's kind of a bummer because people can go through high school and never know about that stuff, they might never want to pursue it too.
True, true.
You know what I mean? Like, if whether it's been any arts, like be like actual visual arts or acting or filmmaking or...
But I think a lot of that stuff, and especially in Australia, is semi-being looked down on. That's one of the problems.
It's
not considered... I mean, that's one of the big differences I find between Europe and here.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know really what it's like in America, but in Europe, art and culture is taken quite seriously, whereas here it's more like a... Oh, you're an artist.
Pastime. Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh yeah, what's your real job? And that's what I'm getting at. Like, that's what the comments that quite often, and they're just ones that sort of annoy me. The ones that, you're a music. What do you do for a real job? It's like, well, this is my real job, douchebag.
Once you explain it to most people, go, oh, cool, that's really great.
Yeah, some people do, some people don't.
Okay.
I work a lot in Noosa, so Noosa, very snooty people. So.
Okay.
And the other thing I always find funny as well, I mean, this is just, I'm just sort of sharing, you know, things that I...
Sure.
Because I gig, you know, 3 to 5 nights a week, and I see a lot, and especially, you know, playing in sort of more upmarket restaurants and bars and stuff in Noosa. Noosa, for people that don't know, is sort of a resort kind of town.
It's definitely
upmarket.
Major tourist destination for the rest of the country.
Yeah, and the world, yeah. But
true.
The other thing I always find funny is, you know, when you go, someone comes in and I'm just about, you know, I've just finished, they walk in, I'm just about to do my last song, my second last song, and then they go, oh, you know, we only just got here, you can't stop now. And I go, well, I've been here for 4 hours, sorry, and then they go, oh, mate, you know, imagine if you'd be like in the Rolling Stones, you know, they're playing 2-3 hour shows all the time, and it's like, yeah, they do, but they don't lug their own gear around, yeah. They rock up.
Also, I've just done 4 hours and I'm playing tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, I'm doing 4 hours, 3 to 4 hours, 5 nights a week. They may do it 5 nights a week too, but then they have a year off. I don't. You know, I don't have, they don't lug their amps, they don't lug their guitars, they walk up on stage. And I mean, I've been involved in things like that, where I rock up to a place, I walk up on stage, someone hands me the guitar. I play for half an hour, I walk off. Mm. Yay! I hand the guitar back, I walk away. It's fantastic. But, you know, what a lot of... I'm just saying, you know, probably the people that listen to this are all musos anyway, but, I mean, if you're not a muso, there's a lot to it. There's, because you do have to... You're lugging a lot of equipment around. It's all your equipment too. So you're kind of conscious quite often about the fact that there's people walking around with beers over your stuff and drinks, spilling things, you know. I'm always very conscious of, because it's quite often in amongst people bumping microphones. I mean, I've had, luckily, I've still have all my teeth, but, you know, bleeding lips and stuff like that.
It's so painful, isn't it?
It's painful when you get smacked in the face by a mic stand, by a microphone. And, I mean, a lot of these guys, bigger acts, don't have to deal with that sort of stuff because they're up on stage. And but anyway, I mean, it's just, I'm just
that's before you even get into touring stuff where you're driving 4-5 hours between towns.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing as well, like, I used to play gigs where and again, because you do everything yourself, you know, I drive down to Brisbane or the Gold Coast. You just drove down for a wedding to the Gold Coast not long ago, I remember.
Yeah.
You know, you leave at like early afternoon or lunchtime or morning even.
Yeah.
You drive for 3-4 hours somewhere, then you get to set up all your crap, do a quick sound check, then you got to sit around for a little bit waiting for people to arrive, then you got to do your thing. And then you play for like 3-4 hours, sometimes weddings 5-6 hours, you know, by the time from, you know, not consecutively, but from when you start to when you finish. And
it's
then
it's a long day.
It's a long day, and then everyone's like, yay, play one more, yeah, gone. Because they all go, because their bus takes them somewhere, or, you know, the venue closes. Then you got to pack all your crap up, put it all back into the car. It starts raining too, so you got to do it in the rain. And then you get back in the car and drive for another 3 hours, and then you get home, and by the time you get home, it's like 4 in the morning. So there is a lot to it. So just saying, if you're a non-muser out there and you're listening, I don't know why you would really, if you're a non-muser, but there's a lot to it. It's not just sitting there for 3 hours and playing some tunes to a bunch of drunken people.
If there's a way we can help educate people.
Yes, let's educate people.
Not just music, but also any arts. If we can... not only educate that it's possible to make a living from it, but also respect people's like choice to make a living from it.
And I think what we should do from now, and if people give us crap,
punch him in the face.
He wants a punch. Slap him.
Kick him in the dick.
Slap him and point him to it. Kick him with
the old dick punch. Yeah.
And we've got an E again next year, I think.
Yep. I swore it there too.
send them to us.
Yep.
Send them to us, and then we'll sort them out for you. So anyway, I just thought it's just something I find I do hear at times. People sort of do tend to think, oh, you're a muso. That's just an easy thing, and all you probably do is get drunk and take drugs and sleep with lots of different women.
Yeah, like that's not all we do.
Well, we do that too, but no. And we don't really do that sort of stuff. It's just a normal job. It's like any other job. It's like any other trade, really. You know, and that's another thing, you know, people whinge about how much musos charge. And it's like, oh, for just sitting there for a few hours and playing some tunes. But again, you know, I'm bringing $20,000 worth of equipment that I had to buy.
And 10 grand over the bar for the venue, and that's like...
Yeah, so, I mean, it's
yeah, and you try...
There's a lot to it.
Try and book a plumber off for 4 hours on a Saturday night, see how much is that
going to cost. Well, that's exactly right, yeah. So, anyway, little whinge.
Cool.
So we may as well... How are we going for time? 52 minutes, that's enough. All right, well, thank you so much for listening. Make sure to check out our YouTube channel. Make sure to check out our Facebook and Instagram. There should be links somewhere around where you're listening to this. And please, if you are still listening, whether it's good or bad stuff, just drop us a line. More good stuff than bad stuff. But
yeah.
Drop us a line. Take a photo of whatever it is you're looking at while you're listening to this. You don't have to be in it. You can if you want to.
That's cool.
You don't have to be in it. And post it to one of our, what's it called, social media things, and just so we know who is listening and all that stuff.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you very much, and talk to you guys next time.
Cool. See you guys.
Cue music.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.